Good morning, everyone. So glad to be with you today to worship the Lord together. Pastor Sean and Pastor Mark, if you guys aren't already aware, are not with us this Sunday, but they will be back next week. So we have a few special speakers today lined up. We have our very own Paul Mann this morning, and then this evening we have Pastor Dennis. So don't miss out on the evening service as well. A few other announcements. We have the Diaper Dash this next coming month here in July, the annual drive for Alpha Grand Rapids. So there's going to be a box out in the foyer starting this coming week, and also in the overflow all through the month of July to drop off diapers for Alpha Grand Rapids Diaper Dash. Also, a few more VBS volunteers are still needed as room helpers. So inside your bulletin, I believe in the center section, there's a QR code that should take you to a sign-up page to volunteer. And finally, I just want to give another reminder that this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we're going to have a special worship night. So some new songs, and it should be a great night of worship together. So I'd encourage you all to come back out for that. So now as we begin worship, I want to read from Psalm 19 this morning. Psalm 19, starting in verse 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to the whole earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming from his home. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to their other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb." Let's all stand together as we worship the Lord. Every reason to praise the Lord.
the good he has done. Worship the Lord to remember all of the joy yet to come. The hope that burns within us, the dark and not destroyed. With praise that's never ending, we say again, rejoice. Summer and winter. And The one and the only, wealth could rescue me from my failing. Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God. Only my holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the
God, we worship you this morning. Lord, we rejoice in you because you are holy, you are perfect. God, as we've sung about, you are wondrous and almighty. God, but you are also so faithful to us from beginning to end in all parts of our life, Lord, all seasons, you are with us. Lord, we prepare our hearts now. We ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word this morning. As we continue to worship you, we know your word is profitable and it's 100% true, God. And we are so anxious now to hear what you have for us today. We thank you for this time that we get to gather together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Delight that you talked back to me already this morning. And it's my honor and delight always to stand in this pulpit and to pitch it for Pastor Sean and to fellowship with you around the Word of God. So it's a delightful time. We've been singing together and we've been praying together. And now we're ready for the preaching of the Word of God. Really, in many respects, I am just the mouthpiece this morning. Because all of God's people gather in the preaching of the Word of God. In your heart and mind, you may say a deep amen. And you will say, yes, that is the truth of the Word of God. And you, in a real way, get involved and are involved in the preaching of the Word of God, so that all of the things that we do in this hour, in one respect or another, we do together to the glory of God. Well, let me take a little survey. How many of you had a birthday in June? Let me see your hands. Oh, yeah. Okay. How many of you had an anniversary in June? Oh, yeah. Several hands going up, and you were on that June calendar, and you celebrated and you rejoice. I got reminded this week that I had an anniversary. In this past week, it was 54 years since I have been ordained to the gospel ministry. I've been at this a long time. And so it's always a delight to preach and open up the Word of God with God's people. Take your Bibles this morning and go with me to the book of Romans. As I anticipated this hour, I said, What does God want me to accomplish? Obviously, I am going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Obviously, I want to encourage God's people. Paul said, I'm going to come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I thought I would come to you today with a benediction, a blessed benediction from the Word of God. Pick up your Bibles and get ready to use them in the few moments which are before us. And I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 15. And I want to pick it up in verse 7. And I want to read down to verse 13, which will be our text for the morning hour. And the scriptures read for us beginning in that seventh verse. Paul writes to the Romans and he says, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might be that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope or trust. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reading of God's Word. Briefly pray with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege of singing together this morning. We thank you for the privilege of praying together. We thank you for the privilege of considering the Word of God together. May your Holy Spirit minister throughout all who are gathered today. And indeed, may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified, and great work be done in the hearts and lives of people. For it's in the name of Christ I pray. Amen. On this past week, in fact, on Monday morning, Mrs. Mann and I finished reading the entire book of Romans. We have read it out loud, and we have read it together. A great book. It stands at the head of all Paul's 13 epistles. It is number one. It stands in that honored position. 16 chapters, 433 verses, 9,447 words in the King James translation of the Bible. And I've had the privilege during the month of June to read out loud all of those words. As you come to this section which we read this morning, you come to the end of the instructional portion of the book of Romans. He has outlined that great truth that we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. He has announced that great truth of justification by faith apart from the works of the law through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has declared that we have been joined with Christ, and as a result of that, we have new and abundant life. He has articulated how we ought to behave as believers. We're sold out, first of all, to the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 12. We know how to live with one another. We know how to respond to governments. We know how to deal with questionable things. And as you come to these final verses, Paul reminds them of this great truth. That all of you, believing Jews, believing Gentiles, are all to receive one another to the glory of God so that you might worship and praise Him. It's a great thing to walk into this crowd of people and see every age and people from all different walks of life lifting up their voice and praising a holy God and speaking of His faithfulness. That is the intent that God has for His church. So, in verse 13, Paul ends the primary instruction of the book of Romans. Beginning in verse 14 on through chapter 16, he talks about his missionary journeys a little bit. He talks about his plans to come to Rome. He talks about some individuals who have been particularly helpful to him in chapter 16. But as he comes to the end of the instructional part, he comes with a benediction. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I like benedictions. I probably learned to like benedictions when I was probably along about 8 or 9 or 10 years of age, because that signaled to me the preacher was done and the service was complete. And so I learned to like benedictions. I look forward to the benediction when the pastor would stand behind the pulpit, raise his hand and pronounce the benediction, and then it was time we could go and do whatever we wanted to do as much as we could as being a part of church. There are some great benedictions in the pages of the Word of God. I hearken back to the Old Testament. Aaron or one of the priests would walk out after the sacrifice. He would lift his hands upon the people of God and he would say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace." You find those words in Numbers chapter 6. Can you just imagine being a part of that congregation of the Old Testament and that blessing, that benediction being pronounced upon you? It's a wonderful thing. Another benediction which we find in the pages of the New Testament comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. And if there was ever a church that Paul had to challenge and deal with and correct and admonish and challenge, it was the Corinthian believers. And yet he has a benediction for them. He said to them, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Can you just imagine Paul as he thinks about the Corinthian believers, he just raises his hand. And that great truth, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen. And they would go away encouraged. The writer of Proverbs says it in this fashion: the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow. Well, let's go back to this little benediction in the book of Romans and look at it together this morning. I want to look at it under three headings. Number one, the source of this benediction. I want us to think a little bit about the subjects of this benediction. Who does it belong to? And thirdly, how do I secure this benediction for myself? How do I make this benediction mine? How is it that I can know all joy and peace and I can abound in hope? How are those things to be made a reality in my life and particularly in your life? So take up the text with me. And let's look at the source of this great and wonderful benediction. Now may the God of hope. I want to say to you, this is very special. It is special in this sense that this is the only place that this title is used of God in the Scriptures. The God of hope. The God of hope, because He is the God who promises, and that which He promises, He does what He promises. Apart from God, from the God of hope, this world is filled with despair. Have you noticed that? No matter where you go today and you look out in our world apart from God, it is filled with despair. It is filled with discouragement. It is filled with difficulty of one kind or another. A common factor among those who are depressed is they lack hope. Discouraged people. Apathetic people who have become apathetic about life often lack hope. Hope is found in the God of hope. The psalmist in the 42nd chapter wrote, "Oh my soul, why are you cast down?" And the writer says, "And why are you disquieted within me?" And then the frame: hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. He picks that up in the 11th verse and he repeats it. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. And you flip over to Psalm 43 and verse 5 and you find the same words again. The psalmist talks to himself and says, "Why are you cast out, O my soul? Hope in the Lord, and yet again you will praise Him." And so I say to you this morning, you're discouraged, perhaps you become apathetic about life. Where do you need to go? You need to go to the God of hope and cry out to Him and speak to Him and to speak to your heart. And why are you disquiet? Hope in the God of hope, and yet you will praise Him again. So the source of this benediction comes from the God of hope. Now, go back with me to that little text, and I want to flesh it out a little bit more and give to you perhaps a literal translation. We could literally translate verse 13 in this fashion. Now may the God of the hope, or the God of this hope, perhaps a reference back to verse 12, where we see out of the root of Jesse will come, and he shall reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles hope or trust. That is the hope that Paul is talking about, the God of this hope. It is the hope that is spelled out in verse 7, where beginning in verse 8, Paul says, the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was a servant of circumcision, or the nation of Israel. He fulfilled all of the promises of God that were given in the pages of the Old Testament, and brought in the truth of redemption and salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that believing Jew and believing Gentile were brought together, and together they praise Almighty God. That was the hope of the Old Testament. Take your Bible and you see this very clearly if you go back with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 illustrates this for us. The Lord has gone to the cross. He has died and he has paid the price of sin. He has been buried and he has risen again. And you pick it up in chapter 24 of Luke, Luke 24 and verse 13. Two individuals are on the Emmaus Road. They are going home. And as you know from the account, the Lord joins himself to them. And they are quite downcast. And you pick it up in verse 22. And you see verse 21. But we were hoping it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Instead, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. And they give a little report. And then they pick it up in verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not to have Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They had hoped that this was the one who was going to come and redeem Israel, and ultimately redemption would come to the Gentiles. They were discouraged. They were downcast. And he opened the scriptures and showed them all that had been promised in the pages of the Old Testament had been fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the source of the hope of eternal life, the hope of salvation, the hope of being right with God, the hope of all that had been promised in the pages of the Old Testament. The God of the hope. That which he had promised from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 all the way through the pages of the Old Testament, that Messiah would come, that he would ultimately die and pay the price of our sin and be resurrected. That is the God of our hope. Now, go back to me with that text. And I want you to consider the subjects of this benediction. My old mentor, Dr. Paul Tassel, used to chide me. He would say, "Paul, you never ought to say to someone, God bless you, unless you knew they were in the place that God could bless them." Now, who are the subjects of this benediction? I want you to underscore one little word and think about it with me for a moment. And think about it in the global context of the book of Romans. Paul writes, "Now may the God of hope fill" who? Well, let me hear you. You. "May the God of hope fill you." Personal pronoun. This gets to be very personal. I want to focus on that little word for a moment. This benediction is for you. But let's mind out for a moment who that you is. This you includes these Roman believers. As you go back with me, just go back with me to chapter 1 and verse 8, and you very clearly see who these individuals are. "First of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout all of the world." They have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their faith, their personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is known and spoken of throughout all of the world. These are people who have come to face with the truth, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They have come face to face with the truth, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. They have come face to face with the truth in chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." They have come to the truth that is found in chapter 10 and verse 13. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They have come face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, they have been born again. Now, we're tempted to stop at that point. But I want you to go back with me to Romans chapter 6. These people were not only believers, but as you pick up Romans chapter 6, you find the great truth of baptism. Therefore, verse 4 of the 6th chapter, "Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we should walk in newness of life." You see it as you read on in that text, and you see, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, for death hath no more dominion over us." I'm confident to say that these people, yes, were believers, but they had followed the Lord in believers' baptism. They had said, "Yes, we have been born again by the grace of God," and they openly profess that and confess that and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. The third thing that I want to show you is that undoubtedly they were a part of the assembly or the church at Rome. Paul writes this to the church, the believers, the church at Rome. And if you pick it up in the 16th chapter, you see this. Paul writes to Priscilla and Aquila in verse 3, chapter 15. And he says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. All of the Gentile churches send you greetings. So they are a part of a local church. That's who Paul's writing to. People who have been born again by the grace of God. People who have openly, publicly professed their faith in Christ through believers' baptism, they are a part of the church at Rome, probably spread out through various households and small assemblies. But they are a part of the church. I want to say to you, that follows the New Testament pattern. If you go back with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture, which you know, I want to articulate for you for just a moment so that you clearly see that that's the New Testament pattern, which is evident throughout all of the pages of the New Testament. When you come to Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore, and if you're reading the old King James text, it reads, teach all nations. Obviously, what are you going to teach them? You're going to teach them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might be saved. And then they are baptized, and then they are a part of a local assembly where they can be taught to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You happen to have a translation that says, go and make disciples of all nations. If you read that and read it in the context of the book of Acts, it's simply go and make believers of all nations. Let them hear the gospel. Let them, by the grace of God and the working of the Spirit of God, come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once they have come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you baptize them. And you baptize them, and they are part of a local assembly where they are taught systematically the truth of the Word of God, whereby they grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what New Testament discipleship is. Nothing more, nothing less. These are people who've come to know Christ. They have openly, publicly professed Him in believers' baptism, and they have become a part of the assembly or fellowship at Rome. These are the subjects of this benediction. Paul is ready to pronounce it upon them. They are believers. They are obedient believers. They are being taught the truth of the Word of God and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ as your Savior this morning? I trust that you will come to that place where you trust Him as Lord and Savior. Have you openly, publicly professed the Lord Jesus Christ through believers' baptism? I love nothing better this morning to rip this stage open and say, some of you who need to do that, come right now. But that's not my place. And then to be a part of a local fellowship where you're taught the Word of God that you might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, go back with me to verse 13. Paul says, "Now may the grace of the God of hope fill you, just to overflowing you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope of the Holy Spirit." How do I secure this for myself? How do I make this benediction my benediction? How do I come into possession of all joy and peace so I am able to abound in hope? How do I make this mine? Let me quickly give you some definitions. I could spend a long time here. Think with me about joy for a moment. Used some 59 times in the pages of the New Testament. And we could describe it in this fashion. Biblical joy is an inner delight in God and His sure promises that gives comfort and contentment in every trial of life. Joy, that inner delight in God and in His sure promises that He gives comfort and contentment in every trial. That's joy. Peace, used some 92 times in the pages of the New Testament. And peace is that inner contentment and freedom from crippling anxiety and fear that comes from being reconciled to God. And as much depends on us being at peace with others. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Romans chapter 12. "As much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men." It is that peace, that inner contentment and freedom from crippling anxiety and fear that comes from being right with God, and as much as depends upon you, being right with others. Hope, sometimes in the New Testament translated trust, but used some 54 times. Biblical hope is a trustful assurance or confidence that all that God promises, He will perform. That's hope. It is a trustful assurance or confidence that all that God has promised in His Word, He will do. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 1. So, let me give you a little direction. How do I make these things mine? I'm going to give you five focuses, just quickly. Five focuses. And you may be strong in two or three, but say, you know, this is the one maybe I ought to ask the Spirit of God to be working on in my heart and life. So I'm going to give you five things that perhaps you could focus on. Focus on the Scriptures. What a blessing just to read the book of Romans, all 16 chapters, all 433 verses out loud. Focus upon the Scriptures. Now you're close at hand there. And why would I say that? Notice with me chapter 15 and verse 4 and get ready to respond. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have" what? Why are these Scriptures? Why are these Old Testament Scriptures given to us? Why are the Scriptures given to us? That we might have what? ho! So, focus upon the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Let me illustrate that for a moment, because that typically sounds so usual, almost that you would expect me to say it. But think with me a moment back there in the pages of the Old Testament. There's the old prophet Jeremiah. He knows that Nebuchadnezzar and the horde from the north is coming. He sees the judgment coming, and he is known as the weeping prophet. And old prophet Jeremiah gets his hanky out, and he's wiping away the tears of his eyes, and he is beside himself. And all of a sudden, in chapter 15 and verse 16, Jeremiah lifts up his head and says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, because I am called by your name, O Lord God." Jeremiah is wiping away the tears, and he goes, and you pick him up in the book of Lamentations. And he says, "This I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope." And he's wiping the tear out of his eye. "Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him." Jeremiah says, when I call to remember all that God has said and promised in His words, I wipe my tears away. So focus upon the Scriptures. Paul had said to Timothy in the book of Timothy, which Pastor Sean has just got done preaching, "Give thyself continually unto the public reading of the Scriptures." Second focus. I've got to do this quickly. Go with me to the book of 1 Timothy. Pastor Sean has just finished up this great book, and I want you to go with me to chapter 1. And you have seen this before, but I want to emphasize it once again. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, tell me, what's the text say? Our hope. Our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Focus upon the Savior. Sit at His feet. Let me illustrate that for you, and I won't take time to go to the text because I think you know it. Wonderful little illustration of this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And the Lord is visiting in the home of Mary and Martha. And they are getting ready to have a good time of fellowship together. And the text reads, "Now it happened as they went that they entered a village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Mary sat at His feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Her calendar was full. And she approached Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me serving alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." She was sitting at the Savior's feet. I want to say to you this morning, some of you need to take some time and sit at the Savior's feet. When I look at my calendar and you look at your calendar and all of the calendars which you are associated with, how in the world do we ever have any time to sit at the Savior's feet? So focus upon the Savior. Thirdly, go with me to the book of 1 Peter. And pick it up with me in verse 3. And get ready to respond. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you are grieved through various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise and the honor and glory His revelation. Whom, having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see Him, yet believing, rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation." Focus on your personal salvation. That day, that hour, when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, we have been born again to a living hope. Remember that day when you trusted Christ? I'll never forget that evening. What a wonderful, precious moment I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Quickly, number four, focus on the second coming. Titus 2:13, Titus says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior." The blessed hope. May Jesus come today. Amen? The blessed hope. John writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see Him, we shall be like Him. And those who have this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." So focus upon the second coming. Go back with me to the book of Romans. And you pick it up there in the 13th verse. And I want to say to you, focus upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Focus on the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? What does the Spirit of God want to do in your life? Go back with me to Romans chapter 8. It is the great chapter on the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God which causes us to cry, Abba, Father. That we are His children. And it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit which gives to us victory over sin. But I want you to pick it up in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Do you have any weaknesses this morning? I do. If you doubt it, ask my wife. The Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For even when we pray, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Blessed Holy Spirit, help me in my weaknesses. And sometimes my strengths become so accentuated that they become weaknesses. Yeah. Focus on the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. He knows your weaknesses. Ask for His ministry and His help and that which is needed to conform you to the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew Judson was a pioneer missionary to Burma. Did great work. Many came to know Christ. But Judson was imprisoned, tortured, suffered deprivation in a squalid Burmese prison. A friend sent him a letter and asked, Judson, how's the outlook? Judson responded, the outlook is as bright as the promises of God. I should get an amen. Judson was abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so can you. Well, let me ask you this morning. Does this benediction belong to you? Have you come to know Christ? Are you walking in obedience to Him? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this benediction for you? Well, if you're a believer, you're obedient unto Him, you're where God wants you to be, then you can be confident that this benediction is for you. Let me ask you, which one of these five focuses do you need to implement? Would you start today? Would you stand with me? Just stand with me. Our music team is going to come and lead us. Father, as we are standing in Your presence and we have heard Your word today, I thank You for these words. May the God of all hope fill you with joy. May some today be filled with joy because they have made that decision to trust Christ as Savior. Perhaps there's one who, after that decision is made, needs to make that decision to follow you in believer's baptism, or to become a part of this assembly so they can be where you want them to be so that you may bless them. Father, help each one of us to look at these, one of the or more of these five focuses. Perhaps we need to spend more time just sitting at the feet of the Savior. Help us make that time. Help us think about that day when we trusted Christ, Savior. May our hearts cry out with joy and peace and hope that Jesus may come today. Father, I say to those who are gathered today, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join us in song as we close with Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Peace in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You are dismissed to life groups.